Welcome to episode 4 of the Flow Ninja podcast.
Welcome to Joey Dean's Flow Ninja podcast, bringing you comedy, consciousness, creativity, natural health and well-being.
Hi, it's me, Joey Dean. If you don't know me, I'm a body, mind, spirit coach and mentor. I also call it spiritual coaching. I'm a speaker, an actor, a digital marketer and content creator, and I make videos, I'm a YouTuber, and I'm an author, as well as making podcasts. So, in this episode, I talk to the incredible Pete Mitchell, aka DJ Pixie Pete, who is a DJ, obviously, and a facilitator, space holder for dance and partying and self-awareness through movement. And he's a friend of mine, and he's an all-round, super interesting, fun person to hang out with and chat to. So without further ado, and by the way, we talk about all sorts of things in this episode. Yeah, a real sort of rabbit hole around embodiment and dance practice, movement, alcohol, what he's up to, and so much more. It's a very rounded conversation in a lot of ways. Yep, and without further ado, here is Pete. So welcome to the podcast, Pete. This is Pete Michel, an old good friend of mine. And Pete is actually from Jersey, like myself, which we did actually meet there, didn't we?
Yeah.
So Pete is a DJ and party creator and...
Joy ambassador.
You're also doing more stuff now, aren't you, event-wise? And obviously you do handy stuff with your hands as well. You're a professional carpenter.
I'm a bit handy. Known to be pretty handy.
Yeah. So welcome, Pete. Yeah.
Thanks.
Have I given you the due introduction that you deserve?
I mean, that meant fanfare. But yeah, that's it. That's what I'm doing at the moment. My passion at the moment is DJing.
Yeah,
and creating smiles on the dance floor seems to be what I'm good at the moment. And as a trained carpenter for the last like 12 years, pretty handy in that realm too.
And it's your DJ name is DJ Pixie Pete.
Yeah,
isn't that right? Yeah,
yeah. That actually was born from working with a group called the Cedar Court Fairies, and they're really close friends of mine now. Invited me after I was just by chance went with another friend to go to a festival and have fun, and he was like, I'm gonna go and meet these girls, they're called the Cedar Court Fairies, we might get involved and help them out. And basically they just adopted me straight away, and during that weekend it was given the name, or they asked me that I needed to find a fairy name, and I just came up with Peter Pumpkin Eater as the first one. And it quickly got shortened after that festival to Pixie Pete, and sort of grew from there, really. It's always stuck.
It's a fun name. I love it.
Pixie Pete.
Yeah, always brings a little smile to my face whenever I think of Pixie Pete or say it.
It depends how you say it. Of the amount of times I've said it now, people have thought, PCP Or the other week it was Pixel Pete. So it's kind of got the funness, but it's also easily misunderstood. I think might go through a term of creating another alias, something a bit more professional. So I think Pixie Pete's got a very sparkly move. But yeah.
So what is it that you do when you DJ? Is it just simply playing a set, or can you kind of lay it out for the listeners? And because obviously I know a bit about what you do because I've been there and been on the stage with you.
Yeah,
and
that you kind have.
Of thing. The Mind Body Spirit last spring. But I was wondering if you could sort of elaborate, what it is that you're sharing and
Well, I love bringing people together,
mm-hmm.
and my DJing's gone through a whole journey,
mm-hmm.
From my first introduction into DJing when I was younger, just being a bedroom DJ on vinyls when I was in my 20s, mm-hmm. and not knowing anything about it, just mashing 1930s, 1920s big band with drum and bass.
Oh, really?
Great beat, yeah. That was my thing. I just like to
put
saxophone or trumpet riffs in amongst banging tunes. used to crack me up. And then, not that was any good, but just didn't do any more DJing and kind of rested the vinyl until I was invited to DJ for an event. It was an African drumming night in Glastonbury, and I can't remember how it happened, but he said, "Do you want to do the warm-up set, like with a welcome set for everyone when they're arriving?" And I was like, "Yeah, great." And I bought myself this tiny little controller, literally like the size of a pencil case, and a friend of mine gave me the software, and I'd never done it before, and I couldn't even get the hardware to work, so I ended up just using the software without the hardware, so there was a total failure on the hardware side, and within a year later, a good friend of mine, Alex, he started an event in Glastonbury called Dance Church, and he asked me asked if I would like to get on board and do weekly dances. So between me, him, and another girl called Chloe, we started doing weekly dance churches, and sometimes I would do three in a row because the others couldn't do it for whatever reason. And I was just using this Tinyl that got, by that time got the hardware working, and I just discovered my love for getting people moving and playing, playing music I loved, but also getting people together on the dance floor and getting people dancing together, creating joy on the dance floor. It's not just about keeping people high adrenaline pumping tunes, but making people smile on the dance floor. That's what I love more than anything. So I'll play anything from Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Bon Jovi, to the latest breaks and drum and bass, and what I've termed now as what I love is ghetto funk. And these I've now been termed as a festival vibes DJ, even though I'm necessarily not DJing at a festival. I really have that fun, funky flavour, so it's all about just creating joy on the dance floor. And that's what I love.
Just on a tangent, that Chloe in Glastonbury, is that Chloe something fly or dragonfly or something like that?
Her DJ name, is that what you were asking for?
Yeah, no, I'm just because I think I'm friends with a Facebook friend. Well, I know her as well, who I know from Bristol, who Chloe, and I know she moved down to Glastonbury, and I know she's into dance in a big way. So I was just wondering about that.
I actually don't know her surname, so I couldn't tell you right now. But she's
so unprofessional.
Sorry, Chloe. DJ Panda.
Yeah, that's okay. Name. That rings a bell. Don't know where from.
But yeah, could be the same one. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's got to be the same. Also, Reza's friends with her.
Okay, okay. Again, that could be the Bristol connection.
Been to the place, well, yeah. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I haven't made it down to Dance Church yet. And I know you've been doing it for a while now and inviting me.
For 3 years.
For 3 years in a row. But whatever, me. Yeah, it's it just hasn't happened yet. But I do fully intend to go down there and do that. Yeah. So it started out with Dance Church, because you did the Chakra Shake Up, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was, what, back in February, January last year, something like that, in London?
Was this year, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I meant this year.
Yeah, we did this year.
Sorry, yeah.
We've actually done three this year. I did one. I've done a lot. I'd say I feel very grateful. I've done a lot in my 3 years that I was invited to start doing Dance Church. Been invited into all kinds of different events and festivals, and created my own events. And the Chakra Shakeup was an invitation by James and Vanessa, who run Real Remedies.
Mm.
And they had the vision to use the botanical elixirs that they've created that started Real Remedies to do a dance event called the Chakra Shakeup. And they have a botanical elixir that resonates with each one of the chakras.
Mm.
Some people may not know what the chakras are, but the chakras are like an energy center for, there's like, they say the general ones are seven in the body.
Yeah.
And, so they have an elixir that goes with each chakra. And as the DJ, I would create seven unique little sets that also resonate with the chakra, and what would actually bring out the epitome or the greatest feeling for that chakra.
Mm.
And at the beginning of each set, we would drink a shot from the shake-up. And you actually came to the first one, didn't you? You came to the first...
I did, indeed.
The first shake-up with Kate.
Yeah, that's right.
That was great. So that's what... They invited me in as the DJ to do that. And 3 later, I've actually feel that... it came to a really good point where I felt really clear with my DJ sets. And I guess that's what it was all about. It was just about me finding the stability and fine-tuning the DJ sets to being, because their shots were already created, they were like, their elixirs were already there. I had to bring in the music to blend really powerfully with what they'd already created. So it's actually worked out really well. The last one was really powerful, and I think that was, it also took an evolution in itself. I mean, I could talk about this Chakra Shakeup, but it's in its own evolution. It changed from their vision, or James's vision, well, it's definitely James's vision, to have like a banging dance party just on the chakras. And I just felt that actually each chakra doesn't want a banging dance party. You know, depending on the chakra, the root just wants to be like in the swamp. It wants to be earthy and slow and grimy. And then when you're more in the heart and more in the third eye, that's when you're like high energy, flying, bouncing around in the power, you're in the solar plexus. You know, that's when it's like full power, banging bass lines. And so it was different to each chakra. So that was, it kind of took its own evolution. Now it's, I feel like they've got really, really finely tuned, curated sets. Which I mean, that's just one of the things that I've managed to do in these 3 years.
And that chakra shake-up is it's a real experience, isn't it? Because it's guided and you've got the shots of the elixirs and obviously the music and the dancing.
It's a powerful combination. So, and this is actually going back to your previous question, you asked me, you know, what is it that I do? And I guess I like to, you know, what I do is almost a byproduct of also my passion. Because my passion is really now about creating transformations on the dance floor. And smiles and joy are all part of that. But to see and to hear people's responses to having a really well-held, sensitive dance, where people are like guided gently and sensitively through emotional states, from sadness to happiness to stillness to excitement, back into stillness. It's a really, really powerful thing. And things like five rhythms and biodanza, movement medicine, these are, you know, long-standing dance formats. I've kind of decided that, to me, ecstatic dance is different to what five rhythms, movement medicine, and biodanza are. They're, I see them more as dance journeys. They're really guided on different levels. Obviously, biodanza, so you know yourself because you've done all of these formats. But yeah, biodanza being very, very guided, more like group therapy. And then you've got something like five rhythms, which is more loose. Also depending on the DJ, because some like to be more rigorous, don't they? Okay. Staccato, or like whatever it is, you know, rather than just feeling the music. But I discovered that was my real passion. Like, I love that so much that's my inspiration right now, is to continue to create these spaces for people to have these transformational experiences, to feel something they're either subduing or I've never felt before, or just to continue feeling something that they want to feel so that they can go through a process. That can be sadness, it can be distress, but something that gives someone a space, a time that gives someone a space to really feel that fully. And that's taken sensitivity, and it's taken a learning myself to really feel into the different genres of music. So I always find it funny when people say, like, what kind of DJ are you? And I'd say, I'm an ecstatic dance DJ. And that means I'll play any genre of music, because every genre has its place, has its emotional frequency, has its emotional response rate. And so
that's also to do with BPMs, isn't it? Beats per minute, because that's, you know, our hearts are beating at a certain rate, and they speed up and slow down and stuff. And we're quite, from the research I've done and the sort of information I've been exposed to, we, you know, as human beings, we are very susceptible to our environment and vibrations in our environment. And obviously the drum beats of tribal dancing and tribal cultures that engenders a kind of trance-like state in us, that's just been researched and, you know, studied a lot, and, you know, producing theta waves and all that in the brain. So that has a, you know, a powerful
effect on the body.
Effect on the body and the mind.
I think the heartbeat is, I think it's like 124, 125. 120, it's like 125, 26, 27, something like that. That's where the heartbeat is more regular. So those BPMs are more rhythmic to the body, naturally, to the heart. And yeah, it is about that. It's about the BPM. Can really slow the body down with some classical, which almost has no BPM, but just like just a fluid nature. And the body just slows down to that. Or, you know, not all classical music, actually, I'm just generalizing there, because not all classical music is slow. But if you've got some really subtle, slow violin, you know, it brings the body to stillness. And then you've got like Celtic, kind of classical, very fast paced violin, or fiddle, and then you're in the staccato, in the energy. So, yeah, it's been a big journey for me, like, understanding that. And that's brought me to understand myself more. I don't think that any work that on this level can go without self-discovery. You know, to understand myself has meant I can understand others better. That also means I have to dance to the music that I play. So that's all part of it.
Taste your own medicine.
Totally, yeah. What does it do to the body? I remember that specifically for the first chakra shake-up that we did. I actually sat, I gave myself like 3 hours, and I sat with the elixirs that James and Vanessa sent me. like a taster package of all their elixirs. I had 7 bottles.
Mm, okay.
Which I think contained maybe 3 to 4 shots in each bottle.
Okay.
And I sat there with each bottle and like a huge plethora. I've got so much music, but I'd already fine-tuned some of the chosen tracks for like each chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And I tuned in with each shot.
Oh, right.
So I'd take a swig of the shot, feel what that meant, felt like in the body, and I started playing my playlist. And I'd be like, okay, what feels like resonates with this, not just the liquid, but what my body wants to do with this with this energy. And that's how I tuned my first chakra shake-up playlist, was doing that. And some of the bottles, I drank the whole thing before I really got a flavour of it, and others I only drank half the bottle. And I was like, cool, I feel like I'd already tuned that playlist and then move on. So it really was like we'd dance each track like with the feeling of the liquid. So to really get a feel, what does this do to the body? And yeah, I know I'm inspired. There's just been this amazing conference. I don't know if you'd actually heard about it. The embodiment conference.
It was
a Facebook thing, and basically it was nearly two weeks. It was definitely 10 days of talks. All about different embodiments. So
like an online conference.
Mm.
Oh, great.
Okay. Yeah, so they had talks from all kinds of people who were doing leadership talks, dance talks, yoga talks, embodiment talks, and people just talking about their passions, what they do. And I was inspired by some of the talks. I only listened to 3 of them the whole time. I was very busy, so I didn't get a chance to listen to more.
Okay.
But they, yeah, just inspiring to see and to hear, like, what does it mean to really be in the body? And that's what I feel that I want to keep. I want to keep creating a space where people are in the body and not in the mind. And as we both know, meditation is a great tool to do that. And movement is sort of second nature.
Absolutely.
To facilitating that.
Yeah, both of those. All of the above. you definitely spot on there. For my own experience from the movement practices, it's always helped me to be more in my body and present. I was in a 5 Rhythms, last night actually. It was Vauxhall 5 Rhythms last night, and I experienced an inordinate amount of stillness last night. I'm not sure why, but I suppose it's because partly it's a community that I know, and it's a practice that I know, and I hadn't been for a while, and it just the kind of recognition came back to me very strongly, and I was just in like a lot of bliss and stillness, even in like the crescendo of chaos, the chaos rhythm of the 5 Rhythms. When the music was really pumping, I was really finding myself in this space of calm and stillness, which was, incredibly fulfilling and satisfying, actually.
What does that look like? Does that mean you were actually still in your physical self? You were being still?
No, I was dancing like absolute abandon, but my inner self, my inner being, was very still. I was very much like in a state of no mind.
So would you say that's more like presence? You feel like
absolutely present in the moment. Just helps really. So that particularly last night, that really highlighted for me how powerful dance movement practice can be, because it really just that last night was wow. Gosh, yeah, this is why I do it, it's so it can really just slow the mind down and bring you completely into the present moment and in the body and in your heart
and bring you introspective.
Yeah,
I feel like that's what you're saying, is that you've reached a point where actually you're aware of what's going on inside your body, where you are, and that was stillness. You know, yeah. you were brought aware to that point, which you weren't aware of before you started dancing, and you just said that you were like, you just experienced stillness, which you didn't really know.
Wasn't experiencing it before. Yeah,
you didn't understand. So it's like, see, I love this. Like, that's why I continue to love doing it, because it's creating those spaces. As was it Christian doing the last night?
Yeah, it was Christian.
Yeah, he's an amazing DJ. You know, love his music. Really, really amazing facilitator, and with a really well chosen soundtrack playlist.
Yeah,
it's just you're creating a journey into the body and into introspection about where am I right now? What's going on for me? What's alive for me? And it's like it happens naturally. If you allow yourself to move with the music, suddenly there's just an awareness of what's really going on. And that's what's so powerful about it. And that's what I brought into love. My favorite thing to do now before every dance is to have a little ceremony, to open the space with intention, to know that we're about to go into this dance. Like people who have never danced before, just to know that this is a chance and an opportunity for us to understand and to be in the body and to understand what's going on for us underneath the surface. And just with that one little intention, one little spark of intention setting, suddenly they go onto the dance floor, and without even realizing, they're allowing themselves to journey inside. And you can do that anyway, even if you don't have that intention setting, but to go in with the awareness that that's a possibility just magnifies that, allows the door to be opened much quicker, and then there's transformation, there's peace, isn't there? Be out of the mind.
Yeah, especially with the sort of modern living and phone consciousness, or smartphone consciousness, and apps, and getting all these notifications all the time, and city living. Like when I come to a space that's dancing, it takes me a while to sort of tune in, and any help I can have with that to facilitate
some peace,
presence and peace, and getting out of my mind is gold.
So much distraction.
Yeah.
We live in that world, don't we, of distraction now. Which I think is why dancers also, it's been hitting the mainstream now. More and more dance events are opening and happening, and they're becoming a medicine for the people. Yeah. They're becoming a point. I mean, there's this new one, Rise and Shine.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've just done, I think, maybe their fourth or fifth one, and they're already at 500 people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are maxing out 500 space capacity. Selling out a week before the event, and these are also alcohol free events. I think that's that's also poignant in what we're talking about.
Yeah,
they're alcohol free events, so there is no distraction.
Yeah,
like there's you're only with yourself.
There's no numbing. There's no escape in that sense. Of course, we can escape if we want to. We always find a way to escape.
Chatting. But, going on the phone. I mean, that's still allowed. There is actually. I just saw a sign in Bali, because Bali's like a hub of ecstatic dance. There's ecstatic dance every day. I mean, nearly every hour of light, there's like an ecstatic dance in Bali. And I saw there was a sign saying, "No talking, no alcohol, no mobile phones," on the dance floor.
Mm.
And I think that's got to be also highlighted for those that it's always about segregation, isn't it, because we want it also to be, we want to welcome people, you don't want to scare people away, but at the same time it's a total distraction. And I mean, I love to, for me it's a medicine to acknowledge that I can go on the dance floor where it's going to be no talking, no mobile phones, no alcohol, and like that's just total joy. And you feel the same.
I do. Yeah, it's really, anything in terms of a medicine space, that's super important, because obviously we use the smartphone like a personal computer, and so easy to go into work mode or you know, distracted by friends or family who are messaging or whatever it is, the latest news on whatever. That obviously these services and softwares are kind of serving up to us, you know, on, you know, which is obviously they want us to be more on their platforms. So it's like a battle in a way between getting use out of the service and it taking over our attention,
what we do. And I'm just thinking, I think it's the only time that actually there's probably two times in my current lifestyle where I'm not on my phone. One is when I'm asleep. It's like, that's like, I'm not on my phone. And the second is when I'm on the dance floor, whether I'm either DJing or I'm dancing. Not necessarily at a club night, but I still choose to not have my phone on me when I'm when I'm at a club night. Like, I put my phone in my bag or my jacket and that goes on a chair.
Yeah.
You know, that's my personal choice. I don't want it on the dance floor. But that's the only time. Like any other time of the day, I've probably got my phone on me. And I'm probably thinking about a message or what should I be sending or what should I be receiving, you know? And so that, yeah, for me, those are the times I give myself mobile free. And other than that, it's in my life, it's in my hands, in my pocket, you know, it's not far away from me.
And as you rightly pointed out earlier about the alcohol free, that's such an important distinction as well for what the kind of events that you're talking about and I'm, you know, try to attend and support as these conscious movement dance events and parties and that kind of thing, where there is zero alcohol, and it's, you know, it's a very, very healthy,
clear space.
There's no BS, and all that you know, dodgy, edgy stuff that you get where, you know, other substances or alcohol is being used is not present at all. It's completely absent. And that's because of the people it attracts who are looking for something different, something new. In fact, at that Rise and Shine event that was held in Millbank, the Millbank Tower, was it end of September? I don't know. That one anyway, it was absolutely rammed. I couldn't believe it. It was a huge space. I was like, oh my God. And it was people from all kind of walks of life, you know, turned up, and people really like dressed like as if they're going to some glamorous club, and other people just, you know, as if they, you know, been walking in the park and everything in between. It was a real eclectic mix of people. And I was like, wow, this people are really, that there's a real demand. People are thirsty for events which don't have alcohol. And I guess, I mean, part of that is something to do with, obviously, people have had stories with alcohol and have difficulties with alcohol. And, you know, they're on a journey of recovery, and they're looking to enjoy themselves and go out and things we don't have alcohol. And then, of course, there's probably a much bigger portion of people who are just like, hey, you know, alcohol's just one little small, you know, part of my socializing, and the rest of it I like to do, you know, conscious and clean. And, you know,
and I guess we've all had experiences at a club night, at a festival, where you've had someone be rude to you, or you've had someone spill their drink on you, or just talking rubbish, and you're like, and you're like shouting at you, whatever it is, there's a bad memory to do with that. And to be able to have an opportunity to complete where that is not going to happen, it's not possible.
Yeah.
You're not going to have that experience, yet you can go and dance and have fun and be with people.
Yeah, and be friends and meet new friends.
Yeah, yeah. Which is what, you know, what the whole point of an event, you know? We like to get together. We're sociable beings by nature. We want to be in community. And a lot of people like to dance, you know, it's good fun. And yeah, that just comes back to what I love doing, you know, bringing smiles and joy on the dance floor. And I definitely like to facilitate more. I actually started the school, I don't know if you knew this, or you must know whether you remember, but I did Guy Barrington's Dancing Heart Path School. I was going to Denmark.
That's right. Yeah.
And unfortunately that school closed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. a lot of people dropped out over the new year. I wasn't one of them, but he couldn't maintain the school with only like three of us. I think it was the last number. Since then, he started another one in Holland. But anyway, that was more of a guided, like really, you know, as a facilitator, it's like more like Biodanza. You're giving the exercises for group therapy, group.
Okay.
I don't want to use the word therapy, but group exercises, facilitation, so that people have a deeper and tangible experience for different emotions or different things. And it's so powerful. Like I had my own, when I was experiencing my breakup with my previous partner, those sessions saved my life. Like they saved my mental well-being. They would transform me every time. You know, to go into 2 hours of really well-held guided space to be able to release deep sadness, deep trauma, deep fear, deep grief, and to have that held over 2 hours was amazing.
Mm.
Where it's the very powerful spaces, they also have to be held very, very well. And I still have a sense of nervousness. Like I'm still a little bit timid about holding those kind of deep spaces. And I work it a little bit into my dance, and I inject words of positivity or intention or some, maybe like an insight, give people permission. And I think that's a lot about dancing, is also, well, I've experienced giving someone permission to fully express themselves. Now, when I was at Mind Body Spirit in Birmingham this year, I did a cacao ceremony. It was my first one. But because I was doing the cacao ceremony, I was guiding the whole thing. Like, you know, I let the music do some of the talking, but I was also injecting, like, okay, now remember your intention, because it all started with intention setting, you know, and I gave people permission on a couple of times, you know, let yourself be free, let yourself be wild, let yourself fully express whatever it is. And then the whole tent, it was like, you know, 16-foot yurt with 27 people rammed in it, like it was insane. Suddenly everyone's like, like screaming. Imagine what it looked like from the outside. I wish I could have been on the outside just walking past. Little tiny yurt just like roaring with screams and yellings. And but everyone just finished with like massive smiles. Everyone felt complete and happy and connected. This amazing thing happened at the end, actually. So, because we were 27 people in this tiny yurt, we couldn't make a full circle. And it was kind of broken because of the way it was with the sound system, that the circle couldn't complete on the outside. And at the end, when I wanted us to make a full circle, we were in this stuck place where we were kind of like two half circles. But one of the guys had this just like beautiful, ingenious moment where he just reached from the inner circle to the outer circle and he connected. And we made this figure of eight, like in the space. And, you know, just like, just going with the present moment, it's just a beautiful moment of connection. Like we all felt connected, and that was just in 45 minutes of a little cacao ceremony. But that, just going back to the point of just guidance, that was giving people permission was a real facilitator in that, because we kind of forget, like, oh, can I yell? Can I be free? Can I fling my arms around like a jellyfish? Like,
yeah, permission is, self permission is so important in with this kind of work. My own experience is it's constantly been, when I've been dancing, especially in these dance practice spaces of movement practice, is giving myself permission. And it's a rabbit hole. It's not just simply, oh yes, Jody, you can now dance however you want. It's a constant unraveling, and it goes on and on and on. And every time I find myself on the dance floor, it's there again. You know, the inner critic, the judge, that's not beautiful dancing. In fact, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And that was, last night I was aware of it. And of course, some days the voice, the inner critic is louder than other days. Last night I think I got off pretty lightly. But I was quickly aware of it. And of course, in that space at Vauxhall, in the St. Peter's Church, where there are so many people who come, often, you know, it's a capacity like 150 people. it's a different thing than dance, because I danced in a church last week at a different Five Rhythms, and there was, 40 people? The same size space?
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you know, 10 times more space to dance around. And I was comparing, because my mind was comparing, you know, my current experience of this crowded, you know, inverted commas crowded, but compared to the other space. My body has to dance a different way. Like one's whole kind of body mind is in a different mode, in a different gear, because it's like, well, I literally can't just throw my arms out with abandon because I have to be mindful that someone. I might hit someone.
Yeah.
And that, you know, creates or produces like a different level of awareness. And then it's like, oh, I know that person. And then, do I
interact
with them? Eye contact. Mm. I don't know that person. Do I interact with them? Like all that's going on like in the background as the music and then the facilitator's voice going on. And there's all these different things. And it can be slightly overwhelming. I realise that again and again. It can be, especially with more people in the space, but it just depends on where I'm at or where oneself is at, mm-hmm. in any given time, what kind of day you've had, mm-hmm. kind of week you've had, what happened just before you arrived. You've been on the tube or the train or in a car or walking, and all that is affecting, you know, our environment around mm-hmm. us. So I was acutely aware for certain points of that dance last night of, oh yeah, this is happening now. And this is happening not in just me, but in everyone here. A level of this is happening of, do I interact with this person? Do I keep to my own space? Do I just, you know, coddle myself and go into my own little world for 10 minutes by a radiator or in the corner here or meditate? Or do I, you know, walk around the space? And, oh God, it's kind of tricky to walk around the space because you have to keep swerving around. And like that, you know, it's adjusting to all these, you know, changes in circumstance.
Yeah.
And of course, the inner voice is there, the inner critic, like, oh, you can't dance like that. You know, or what, you know, it's... I notice an exhibitionist in me as well, because... I do have some dance training, so like I'm like, oh, I just did a spin then, and someone is like, look, catch someone's eye, and they're like, oh, that's nice. Ooh,
he's dancing.
Yeah, well. And it's like, oh, I am a real dancer, and all that shit just comes up, you know, sort of, yeah, it's just mind chatter, and you know, that's really interesting as well, just to be with it and be aware.
And what you're saying is actually, I had the whole. The inner voice in me right then was also saying that it's kind of like when you're in those spaces, also you can hide more, because if you've got like, if you're surrounded by 150 people, you could also disappear easier. I know I've danced in rooms not the size of that, but large rooms, and there's maybe only been five or six of us.
Mm-hmm.
I've DJed when there's only been five or six people, and you can't hide in a space like that, so you're actually more exposed. So it's like, no matter where you go, there's a challenge. Like, no matter what space you're in, there's a challenge of the mind. And it's just bringing me full circle to realizing why do we do this? Why do I enjoy facilitating these spaces? And it's to raise personal awareness, to raise my own consciousness. And like, I dance and I DJ to raise my own consciousness, to raise my awareness of myself. And that's what all of these things are doing. And it's doing it even more so. It's magnifying it without alcohol.
Mm.
Because when we haven't got the alcohol, we're not numbing the mind. We are completely acutely aware, as you were last night.
Yeah.
With like, oh, am I flinging my arms out? Oh, I'm aware of this person. And when we drink, I'm not aware of that. Great. I'm just like, I'm just bumping into people. Like, I don't care. I don't give a shit. Like, oh, I just knocked my drink on someone. Yeah, fuck it. And it's like... You know, there's so much, like, you're without the alcohol, there is only the mind.
Yeah.
There is only that. And the more we step into our body continually through the movement, through motion, we're just becoming aware of ourselves a little bit more. We're growing in our self-awareness, our consciousness. And I believe we're growing in our heart space.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing to love and accept ourselves more. Mm-hmm. And the more we do that, the more we love each other, the more we can have compassion and empathy with the ones around us.
Mm-hmm.
So through, yeah, I mean, dance is now a movement, movement of conscious growth, of self-acceptance, of self-awareness.
Yeah, and absolutely.
This is also, you know, as I told you a little while back, I did the work with the Fast Minds Festival and collaborated with Christine Norton doing the working with neurodiversity.
Oh yeah, you mentioned about
that. You know,
that.
Like that's something I not even considered. Like we were working on a topic which is fundamentally like problematic in society, neurodiversity, learning difficulties, mental disabilities, like something that we've been taught from our, you know, I was definitely taught in a childhood that, you know, a mental difficulty or disability is a problem and you can't function as well. They can't function, you know, whatever that is. So working specifically on that topic meant that it raised my awareness to what that actually means. What is it to actually have a neurodiversity, to have a learning difficulty? Who has learning difficulties? Like, what, you know, I was fortunate enough to have access to audios of celebrities that have got learning difficulties. Dyslexia mm-hmm. was the main one, the Richard Branson, Whoopi Goldberg and Steven Spielberg. They mm-hmm. also, they all have they're all diagnosed dyslexic
mm-hmm.
And yet they're super successful people. Mm. And so it was more of an acceptance. And then so just going back to my point is that it's like not just self-acceptance, but social acceptance is what we're tending to here, what we're growing through the dance movement.
Mm.
And it's amazing. It's like, it's incredible what is actually happening now, like what we're talking about, to see the bigger picture to what dance is facilitating. And this is my inspiration to continue.
Yeah, I mean, dance is very non-threatening, isn't it?
Most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the sleazy guy or, you know, Biodance is well known for that, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Like, I'm not that familiar with Biodance.
Oh, okay.
But I can imagine, yeah. But in the sense of, you know, whenever I say to someone I'm going to a dance workshop or a dance class, people are like, oh, you know, it's like a nice thing. Mm-hmm. People, it does have that perception. Mm-hmm. That's a, you know, a beauty in itself that dance has, that it's very giving. It's an offering, isn't it?
Mm.
Dance.
Available to everyone.
Available to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not talking about professional dance at all. We're talking about
Freestyle.
Yeah, freestyle dance that is open to anyone.
Mm.
Like these practices of quiet rhythms, movement medicine, mm-hmm. ecstatic dance and conscious movement practice, somatic practices, all of that. There's a plethora of courses, you know, trainings and classes around the world that's just exponentially growing, really, as also there becomes more discernments and specialisms. Someone trains in, you know, five rhythms and movement medicine and soul motion, and then they come up with their own because they discover through their own journey distinctions and details which they haven't found elsewhere. And they're like, oh, actually, I want to offer this. Mm. And that's really interesting. And it's like, that's what, in a way, I see that you're doing. Mm. You're on your journey and you've done this training and those workshops and you, through the experience of giving, holding space and DJing, you're finding, okay, this is what I want to do and this is what I want to give and offer. And you're offering a fusion and your own unique blend.
Mm. Yeah, it's personal. It comes down to the individual completely. Is that actually, while you were talking, I just realised that there's so many people that are now, you know, dance is now in almost, like, as it's probably in 5 out of 10 workshops, they're including dance, you know, maybe a weekend retreat, whatever it is, and there's always, you know, there's an evening dance party, there's a dance through intention, there's, you know, there's, like, movement practices.
Cacao ceremony with dance.
Yeah.
You know, and everything in between, gongs and whatever else
it's
is going on.
It's amazing. It's like, yeah, it really is an awareness. And I guess I'm at, you know, yeah, just highlighting, I feel like I'm at a little bit at the forefront. Still feel a little bit, like there's a self-critic in me. Like, oh, I didn't manage to get myself onto the ecstatic dance teacher program or whatever. You know, that I'm not DJing. Well, I haven't DJed this festival. Yeah, I have done a lot. Because I just want to do it all.
Yeah, I suppose it's good for me to mention that I always love your DJ sets as well, and love to just, yeah, go wild and boogie. You know, you play really great music for me anyway. I guess it's down to taste at the end of the day, but and it was a joy to do that performance dance. Was it Mind Body Spirit at the beginning of this year with you, and you did Birmingham, that was in October, wasn't it? Mind Body Spirit. And you're going back to the London Mind Body Spirit, aren't you, in April?
Yeah, I had
actually, is it April?
April or May.
Yeah, around that time.
And I had the conversation today about that. That's good. It's happening.
And what are you offering there?
I'll be doing we call it Get the Party Started, okay. Even though it's at the end of the day. So same thing that we did. Probably do 3 of those. They've actually invited me to DJ the closing ceremony. So there's talk about making a specific closing ceremony to invite other artists and musicians and performers to get on stage and to make it a big thing. So people come to one of the workshop spaces and we actually have a closing ceremony where there's a whole, you know, intention, closure. Kat Duval's been asked if she wants to do Humandala. Get like Antama on the drums, get the belly dancers doing some dancing and you know, make a proper performance and collective ceremony out of it.
Nice.
And then also I'm going to be in the ceremony space doing another cacao ceremony. Might do 2, that's a possibility.
That
she's got, I know Kowali has got loads of people want to do it. So
okay.
I'm just fortunate enough to have 1. And then I've asked to do a chakra shake-up, actually. So we're just in talks right now about if there's space, because I didn't realise, I'm like well overdue. The workshop space is actually already full.
Okay.
So, but they want me to do something. So, brilliant. Yeah, sort of just see if we can work that in as well. So, yeah, very, you know, so maybe I didn't get onto one thing, but yeah, I've done well in that, you know, in that respect. Got myself in there, and people really enjoy what I do, you know. So, yeah, I feel very grateful that I'm, you know, I feel like I'm doing something right. I think there's part of my own. This is part of my own self journey. Is that I didn't believe. It's like, am I doing a good job? Is this actually any good? You know, are people pretending to like what I'm doing?
Yeah.
But the more that I get really positive feedback from people, that was great, yeah, I love what you do, I love your vibe, you know, I'm like, cool, yeah, I'm doing a good job. The best is at the end of the intimate dances when someone sits down and they say, like, I really didn't want to come tonight and I'm so glad that I did, because I just feel like completely different and better person. And that's my fuel for doing more. You know, it doesn't happen every time, but when that does, it's really, it's a powerful, powerful gift. I know that I'm bringing. And so I've got, currently, yeah, I've been booked in for Rumble Festival next year, which hopefully you'll be also at.
Yeah.
Doing the cabaret.
Quite possibly.
And And I'm running my own event at the end of this year on the 22nd of December in Glastonbury.
In Glastonbury, yeah.
Apart from that, Dance Church probably is happening once a month.
And you've just come back from Oslo, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. I just did 3 days at the Body, Mind and Spirit. Basically, they've just done the same thing as they have in London, but they're doing it in Oslo. And Kat Duval invited me. She runs Nine Lives Yoga, and she runs the Silent Disco in London. And as already mentioned, she's going to be also involved in the closing ceremony. And she got me to do yoga raves. So very fortunate enough, you know, I've been very fortunate. She's invited me into all kinds of festivals. I went to Finland with her this year. We did Natural High Healing Festival. I've just been to Oslo, 3 days. You know, all expenses paid holidays to go and do what I love doing. Yeah.
Sounds
not
funky.
Bad, yeah.
In a good way.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
brilliant.
That's been happening.
Very exciting.
I don't know quite what else I've got lined up, but I've got ideas to run more collaboration stuff, bring in more ceremony dance. I want to do more in London. I think London's got a... It's just, it's craving it right now.
Yeah, it's ripe for it. It's ready for it.
Yeah. Well, with Rise and Shine already selling out,
and of course, you know, we can't talk about all this conscious raves and conscious parties without mentioning Morning Gloryville.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, the dream would be there.
Yeah, which is obviously, for those of us who don't know, it's a morning conscious rave or drug-free, alcohol-free rave, which happens. Which started in London about four or five years ago, and happens in London and other places.
Gone all over the world.
Around the world,
massive movement.
Very successful, and it's a great way to start the day.
Yeah, it starts at like 5, is it 5 a.m.?
6 a.m. Or 6:30 at the moment in London, but I guess it would vary on who's organising where and when and venues and that sort of thing. Yeah, I always make them if I can. And if I'm in London, actually, I do it. I go.
What a crazy experience to be like, you know, at that time in the morning, you've got hundreds of people covered in glitter, covered in sequins, wearing the most outlandish, crazy outfits, you know, and like people are going to work in their suits and or to work the underground or whatever it is. And, you know, people really go all out for it. And it's just, you know, it just brings something different to the city.
I had a job actually for a while where I was working in an office, and I remember turning up in the office after Morning Gloryville, and I was so high and happy. You know, people are like, "Where have you been?"
Did you still have glitter on your face?
Yeah, I'd have little spots of glitter, you know, where I haven't completely washed it off properly. But it was so noticeable, actually, my mood, how different my mood was from the other days when I was turning up at the office compared to the day when I did Morning Gloryville.
Even though you had to get up at 5:30 to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. That contrast was amazing, actually. How much it affects what you're doing in the morning before work affects your day. And, you know, where your mind is at. And obviously, if you're dancing to great music in a place with friends and or just up for it, people who are keen to connect and enjoy and have fun, that is such a healing, blessed thing to be able to do and fun thing to do in them.
And again,
morning.
Totally alcohol-free. Totally, you know, they run a smoothie bar.
Drug-free, alcohol-free.
You know, it's like that essence. And it is, I mean, that's been a massive movement. And just thinking, like, it's still, though, still, like, quite a small... I guess it's a small population, you know, percentage. I don't know how many people they can hold. Probably 500,
for
the biggest venues.
Don't know the figures, actually. They do often sell out.
But,
it is a feat to get people...
Totally.
To something in the mornings early like that.
It works.
It does work.
And it's also created a ripple effect of awareness of that. And maybe I've only ever been to one Morning Gloryville. I haven't been to more than one. They've been going on for years. I definitely was like, I kept saying, like, I will go to my next one when I'm actually DJing it. I would love to do that. But I know that so many people have talked about it. You know, it's been covered with the mainstream media.
Yeah, it has. It's been on the BBC. Yeah.
The awareness of actually the positivity of dance and alcohol-free, drug-free dance communities. And they also do the ceremony thing. Everyone they starts do. With the ceremony, everyone finishes with the ceremony.
That's absolutely right, they do.
And, you know, that's all part of the intention setting. It's amazing, yeah. It's a rich time for dance.
Mm.
It really is. It's a really amazing thing. So, anyway, I do need to pull my finger out and get my little package together to send off to more people. You know, like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Before some other, you know.
How can people find you online?
You can find me on Facebook. So, Pixie Pete, but I spell it P-I-X-I Pete, which at the time when I started was actually a bit of a, like, I thought, God, why am I doing this? Because everyone spells it with an E. And it kept getting written for all events and everything as Pixie with an E, Pete. And I'd have to write to them, you don't spell it like that. It's P-I-X-I, Pete. Though, if you look me up online, I'm the only one.
Aha.
So I'm easy to find.
Yeah.
If you put Pixie Pete, P-I-X-I, Pete, into Google, it comes up with my Mixcloud, my SoundCloud, my Facebook, my YouTube. I'm on Instagram. And, yeah, that's how you can find me.
Pixie Pete. And is it DJ Pixie Pete?
DJ Pixie Pete. Yeah, DJ Pixie Pete. I think Pixie Pete on its own just works, but yeah, DJ Pixie Pete is my... DJ Pixie Pete is my Instagram and my Facebook.
Yeah.
My Mixcloud is just Pixie Pete. And even though my SoundCloud is still Peter Pumpkin Eater, because Sarah was made ages ago, it still comes up under Pixie Pete. But yeah.
Every time you mention it, it makes me laugh.
Peter Pumpkin Eater. I'm not joking. I'd be at festivals and there'd be kids like running up to me with invisible pumpkins, be like, I found your pumpkin. Be like, yeah, I've got you another pumpkin. Let's go look for pumpkin. Honestly, it's so funny. Do you really eat pumpkins? Yeah, I love them.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's been...
Oh, well, brilliant, Pete. It's been fabulous talking to you. It's been a real joy.
Great, yeah. Thank you very much, JD. And
yeah, thank you.
I wish you all the best with your podcast. I hope this goes really well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
May it make us both famous.
Best of luck with all the upcoming projects and, the events and... I would do my best to get along to them.
Calm down, it's going to keep happening.
Yeah.
They'll be there waiting for you. I'll still be doing it. And see you at the festivals next year, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the dance floor. And yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to do this.
My real pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Been great fun.
Thank you. Any parting words?
Just send to the peeps, you know. Yeah, accept yourself, be yourself, be free. Don't be shy to connect to the community. And it's the phone saying, see you later. See you on the dance floor. Yeah.
See you on the dance floor. Okay, thank you, Pete.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
So that was DJ Pixie Pete. I do hope you enjoyed that interview. You can find him online on Facebook and everything. Actually, the links will be in the show notes in the description of the podcast, so don't despair. And there's other info on there about other things that I'm doing, the YouTube channel and the downloadable PDF as well, which you can get involved with. So that's that. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. If you're a listener, don't be a lurker. Be a subscriber. Engage and get involved and yes, you know, comment and share it on your social media. How about that? That would be amazing. Yeah, share the love, you know, sharing is caring. Now, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, I do have a little favor to ask, and that is if you could please review and rate the podcast. It does help with the algorithm in Apple to show it to more people. I also think you could get a lot out of following me on Instagram. It's Flowing Ninja. That's the username for the account, which is for the podcast Flow Ninja and coaching and mentoring. And yes, the other thing that you may be interested in is my free downloadable PDF, Top 10 Secrets to Hacking Your Flow, Stepping Into Your Power and Thriving at Life. And you can get that at go.flowninja.co. That's go.flowninja.co. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. Please do subscribe if you haven't already. We are now available on Apple Podcasts as well as all other good podcasting platforms. Also, I forgot to mention, another great reason for downloading the PDF is that you get to be on my email list, the Flow Ninja email list, so you get all the latest updates regarding new podcast editions, episodes, and YouTube videos I'm putting out there, as well as my news and views on life and everything. So please do subscribe. You may or may not be aware that I also have a YouTube channel for Flow Ninja, and you are very welcome to subscribe. And these videos are a bit different to the podcast, but equally fascinating. That's just Flow Ninja on YouTube. The link should be in the description of the podcast. It's a fledgling channel, so I don't have one of these vanity URLs. So it's just a jumble of letters after youtube.com. The format's a little bit different to the podcast. I'm making videos about my insights into reality, life, human nature, psychology, that kind of thing. And yeah, I invite you to subscribe, like the videos if they resonate, and comment your thoughts and feedback. That would be wonderful. So, thanks again for listening to this podcast, and see you in the next episode. Hey guys, so please support this podcast and my YouTube by donating on Patreon. Every little help, big and small, is a massive support for me to continue making videos and, yeah, get the word out there, get my story and my message out there. So I much appreciate any help you can give. The link for my Patreon is in the show notes. So I look forward to making more stuff, more content for you. Thank you. And the link is patreon.com/flowninja. Simple as that. Thank you so much.